from the National Catholic Register. This is Register Radio, bringing light and clarity to the news and topics that affect your life.
This week on Register Radio, Jeanette DeMello and Register Senior Editor Joan Frawley Desmond discuss EWTN's newly filed lawsuit against the HHS mandate. Yes, another one. And Dan Burke talks with Sister Regina Marie Gorman about the latest news at the Council of Major Superiors of Women Religious. Welcome again to Register Radio. It's a co-production of EWTN and the National Catholic Register. I'm Tom Price, along with Jeanette DeMello, Editor-in-Chief of the Register, and Dan Burke, Executive Director of the Register. Glad you could join us today. Our first guest, Joan Frawley Desmond, is the Register's senior editor. She is an award-winning journalist and has been widely published in Catholic, ecumenical, and secular media. Joan is a graduate of the Pontifical John Paul II Institute for Studies of Marriage and Family. For many years, she reported for the Register from the Washington, D.C. area. Now she lives with her family in Menlo Park, California. Earlier this week, she reported on EWTN's recent lawsuit against that HHS mandate, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. Joan, welcome back to Register Radio.
Hi.
Joan, it's great to have you back on the show today. You were here just a few weeks ago talking about another piece of news that the Register reported on. But this week there was something very important for us, since we are owned by EWTN and we cover this news very closely. EWTN filed a new legal challenge last Monday, October 28th. But hadn't they filed this challenge before, originally in early 2012, I think?
Yes, they did. Actually, EWTN was one of the first religious nonprofits to file a legal challenge against the HHS mandate, and it really helped to break ground and get people looking at what the mandate presented to the church, to religious nonprofits, as well as for-profit businesses that also oppose contraception, abortion-inducing drugs, and sterilization in their plans based on Catholic teaching. So basically, the federal district judge had originally looked at the HHS mandate lawsuit filed by EWTN, and the problem was twofold. First, the government said that it was planning to do more to amend the law to accommodate concerns of religious nonprofits like EWTN. The second issue was the government had provided a so-called safe harbor one-year extension for religious nonprofits to have time for them to evaluate how to address the HHS mandate. So for that reason, the federal district judge said that the lawsuit was not yet ripe, meaning that it was too soon to rule on it. And so it essentially was set aside. And so now the new lawsuit filed in the U.S. District Court for the Southern District of Alabama names U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and HHS Secretary Kathleen Sebelius, and it asks the court both to halt the government from imposing the HHS mandate and to find that the law is unconstitutional. Mm-hmm. EWTN believes it's important to file the lawsuit now, and one reason is, as you may have seen if you've noticed the passage of other similar legal challenges, it takes time for them to move through the courts. Basically, they need to receive a temporary injunction until the courts can rule on the merits, as well as just on emergency filings. So EWTN faces a formal January 2014 deadline imposed by the government for showing compliance with the HHS mandate. But actually, EWTN itself, like all religious nonprofits, has its own deadline based on when it rolls out its new health plan.
Sure.
And that is a bit later towards the summer.
Yeah, I think it's sometime June, July. That's what we're looking at here. But why now is this considered something that we have to act against? Didn't the new rules relieve nonprofits of some of this this compliance?
Well, the U.S. bishops have been very strong, saying that the so-called there were really two issues that came up. One was the issue of exemption, and the other one is the issue of accommodations for mm-hmm. some plaintiffs filing HHS mandates. Exemption in the case of churches provides full exemption, meaning that they have no responsibility in any way, shape, or form to provide such services in their employee health plans. The accommodation was ultimately addressed to religious nonprofits that did not fall under the government's definition of what constitutes a church that should have full protection under the free exercise clause of the Constitution. And as far as that goes, the government essentially used an IRS definition of what constitutes the church, which had not been precedent previously for government laws dealing with church-state issues. So basically, for someone like, for an entity like EWTN, the HHS mandate was essentially still in place, and one way or the other, EWTN's employees have to have access to these services. Essentially, a third-party entity, if a company insures itself, then the government would help designate a third-party entity to actually provide these services. But the view of the bishops and the view of EWTN and other religious nonprofits is that one way or the other, they are still providing these services that they view as morally wrong and a violation of Catholic teaching, and thus they have to go to court to bar the law, bar any pressure to comply with the law.
This is Jeanette DeMello on Register Radio. I'm speaking with senior editor Joan Frawley Desmond, and we're talking about EWTN's lawsuit against the HHS mandate. Now, EWTN had another entity join its lawsuit, and that was the state of Alabama. Joan, tell us about the state joining EWTN's lawsuit.
Well, Alabama Attorney General Luther Strange announced at the same time that EWTN announced its lawsuit, its new lawsuit, that the state would join EWTN as a co-plaintiff. He said he was really proud to stand with EWTN to oppose what he saw and viewed as an unconstitutional mandate. And he said that it was the mandate also, in his view, violated the state's own religious freedom protections, and that he said the state stood with religious plaintiffs and wanted to defend and support their rights to free exercise and also accommodation to the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. Attorney General Strange characterized the third-party provision as a shell game and an accounting gimmick. He said, "We all know that insurance companies do not provide anything for free. The employers are still going to be paying for these services through increased premiums or otherwise, even if the insurance company technically covers these products through some kind of separate so-called free policy." He said this just it isn't just about who ultimately has to pay. It's also about the government forcing EWTN to participate in a scheme that violates its religious beliefs. So really, Attorney General Strong had very strong views in what he alleged about the federal law and about the fact that it still had not really addressed the primary concerns of religious plaintiffs like EWTN.
That's true. I read one of his quotes, and this is what Attorney General Strange said. "The government should not be in the business of forcing people to violate their religious convictions," and those certainly are very strong words. You know, Joan, we just have a few minutes left, about 3 minutes left, and I wanted to ask you about kind of the scorecard. There have been many lawsuits filed, both nonprofit and for-profit, against the HHS mandate, many of them for this very reason, because they do not believe in providing contraception and abortion-inducing drugs. Can you tell us what the scorecard is? How have these lawsuits fared?
Yes. Basically, of the 36, we really have two sets of lawsuits. One are nonprofit, filed by religious nonprofits like EWTN and others, church agencies, hospitals, universities. And so of those, there are 36 nonprofit lawsuits filed challenging the HHS mandate. Only one of the cases has been decided on its merits. The other cases received rulings on procedural issues. Then there are also 39 for-profit lawsuits filed by companies, Christian and Catholic, like Hobby Lobby. Of those, 35 have obtained rulings on the merits of the claims, and 30 of those have received injunctive relief, which essentially means they have a temporary injunction allowing the case to move forward and it to be ultimately ruled on the merits. And in the meantime, they have been protected against what really would be massive, crippling fines. Of course, everybody is now waiting to see what happens at the Supreme Court. The court is expected to look at the case soon and decide whether or not possibly Hobby Lobby or another case, which has already moved past the circuit courts, might be the one chosen, or more than one case chosen, that the court would then rule on this definitively.
Joan, you know, not too long ago when we were talking about covering this news again, you were telling me that over the past 2 years you've very much learned the lawyer's lingo. You're not a lawyer yourself, but you're our expert on staff on this topic, and we're so grateful for what you do, and I know you'll be covering this again soon. So thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Jeanette.
Thank you, Joan. Really appreciate all that you're doing to cover this very important story, especially for all of us who are following this. When we return, we're going to find out what's happening with the Council of Major Superiors of Women Religious, another ongoing story that we're following very closely here. This is Register Radio on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Stay with us.
John at Bankovic talks about the National Catholic Register.
I recommend the National Catholic Register to all Catholics who want to discover what it means to live their faith in this our day and time. We get the clear, unbiased news of today because the National Catholic Register takes its cue from the mind and the heart of the Church. It really becomes a tool by which we are able to live that abundant life in Jesus Christ and to share that life with others. The National Catholic Register seeks to meet people where they are, seeks to meet people where they are in their walk of faith, where they are practically in their lives at the moment.
To start your subscription to the National Catholic Register today, go to EWTN.com and click on the banner for the register, or call 800-854-6316. That's EWTN.com and click on the register subscription banner, or call 800-854-6316.
Let's return to Register Radio on EWTN.
And welcome back. Along with Jeanette DiMello and Dan Burke, I'm Tom Price. Our next guest, Sister Regina Marie, OCD, was raised in Los Angeles, where she entered Carmel in 1972. After completing her religious and professional formation, she served as a junior high school teacher for 9 years, and then for the next 12 years served as directress of postulants and of novices. As a vocation directress, she had the opportunity of assisting many young ladies in their vocation discernment process and, while she was at it, completing a master's degree in theology and Christian ministry from Franciscan University of Steubenville. In June of 2000, God called Sister Regina Marie to serve as Superior General of the Carmelite Sisters of the Most Sacred Heart of Los Angeles. After serving in this capacity for 12 years, Sister now serves as Vicar General of her community. Sister also serves as Chair of the National Conference of Major Superiors of Women Religious, CMSWR, headquartered in Washington, D.C., and that's what we're talking about today. Sister Regina Marie, welcome to Register Radio.
Good morning, and thank you.
Sister, this is Dan. It's great to be with you. God has blessed me with bumping into you several times this year. It seems to be a trend even starting last year. I'm a big fan of the Carmelite Sisters of the Most Sacred Heart of Los Angeles, and of course the work of the Council of Major Superiors of Women Religious. I'm grateful to you to spend some time with us today, telling us a bit about the Council of Major Superiors of Women Religious. Many people are not aware of the incredibly important work that you do, and there's another entity out there that gets a lot more press, but today I'd like to focus on the council and have you help our listeners understand the great work that you do. What is the mission of the CMSWR?
Our first first mission is to establish a very effective collaboration among major superiors, who will cooperate and collaborate closely with the USCCB, our United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, and with our individual diocesan bishops. We also are very much committed to nurturing a renewed appreciation of the deeper theological reasons for religious life, a very unique and special form of consecration.
So tell me a little bit about your commitment to renewing that appreciation. What is central to that understanding, and how it is that religious might live out their faith and their calling in this unique way?
We drill down, drink deeply of the great wealth that has been provided for us through our ecclesial documents. Church documents over the years have provided an enormously rich source of formation. So if we are studying, discussing, praying about what the church has continually taught about the purpose and the essential elements of religious life, that is our first way of nurturing that renewed appreciation, both among ourselves, the young women who are entering our community, and sharing with those who we minister to.
Well, one of the ways that you reach out and build a relationship with religious communities and advance this mission is through connecting the communities from all around the United States. Now, do you reach beyond outside of the United States, or are all of the groups affiliated with you inside the U.S.?
We are the women. We're a conference of major superiors of the United States.
Okay.
Now, many of our communities have missions in foreign countries, but a major superior or her representative lives in the United States.
Great. Now, do you meet on an annual basis? How do you carry out the formation that you do?
We just finished our National Assembly last month, earlier in October, and that is one of our main events where major superiors travel from all over the United States to gather. But we also offer other types of support. For example, we have a formators workshop, so all the novice directresses are able to gather together and study and talk and share and collaborate, share resources. We also have regional workshops so that not only our members, but any religious of the diocese can attend workshops geared and focusing on different aspects of religious life.
This is Dan Burke with Register Radio, and we're here with Sister Regina Marie, who serves as the chair of the National Conference of Major Superiors of Women Religious. And I just said conference, it's council, isn't it?
We are a conference, and our name is, we are a council, so it's fine.
Great. Now, so in the midst of all of this work that you do to strengthen religious life, what are you seeing as positive going on out there? I mean, in my travels, I get to spend time with you, the Carmelites in Los Angeles, the Nashville Dominicans. I see a wonderful renewal of religious life happening across the United States. Are you seeing the same thing?
Most definitely. It is slow, but it is very consistent that young women are searching for opportunities to be challenged, to be supported in their total self-giving of Christ in community with common apostolate, common prayer. It is growing.
That's so encouraging for us to hear. Now, I was also excited as I was preparing for the show to see something that you and I had talked about some time back, and that is that you have a new website that enables all of the sisters from around the U.S. to connect with the resources that you provide. Tell us a bit about the new site and the new services and how folks can find it.
You'll find us at cmswr.org. And I would encourage you to share with everyone. It is a brand new website, so it will grow in depth. But we have theologians that are writing articles about religious life. We are sharing pictures about what our communities are like, the life and the heartbeat of each of our communities. It's a great resource.
So on it, you provide summaries of each of the basic religious communities that you're part of. But you also have a special section on women who may be discerning. Tell us a bit about that.
We have great questions, great reflections, meditations, questions to ask oneself. We have definitions and descriptions of the different levels of formation. We have pictures that show you what paschals and novices look like and what their daily lives are like.
Yeah, I think it's a fantastic resource. I really think it's a great resource, not just for those who are members of the council or those discerning religious life, but I think the laity really would be deeply blessed by going out to this site and getting a feel for the great joy. You have amazing pictures of sisters from all of these or many of these communities and the great joy and work, and it's fascinating seeing the different habits and exploring the different charisms that are being carried out, all in a way, and I think this is what is unique to the CMSWR and so important, all in a way that really works in conjunction with the heartbeat of the church, with the magisterium of the church. Tell us a bit about that, the importance of that magisterial connection to what you're doing.
It is our heartbeat. It's our lifeline. We were given life only through the recognition by the church. It takes the discernment of the Holy Spirit to really identify that this conference, this council, has a specific purpose in the life of the church, of nurturing the body of Christ. So if we are not in union with the church, we have lost our vital organ. This is who we are, and this is why we exist.
This is Dan Burke with Register Radio, and we're with Sister Regina Marie talking about her work as the chair of the Council of Major Superiors of Women Religious. Sister, when we talk about being rooted and grounded in the magisterium of the church, one thing that I think is great about this site and about, you know, the ability to see all these communities listed here is really if there are lay people who are looking to support religious communities, when all of the communities that they find associated with the CMSWR are unreservedly committed to the magisterium, correct?
Absolutely. Heart and soul.
Heart and soul. It's not complicated, is it?
No.
It's all heart and soul. That's amazing. Now, how do you, as the kind of the body that supports all of these groups, how do you meet your own financial needs? So I know all of these orders that you serve have needs, but the council itself has specific needs. What are those?
Oh, absolutely. For example, we have a house of studies in Rome where sisters can go and study together at the heart of the church. And some of our communities are unable to provide scholarship funds to send sisters for either 3 weeks or a quarter or a year or to actually do further studies. Even having the National Assembly, we have members that find it very difficult to travel for travel expenses. Even our website, you'll notice some of our communities do not have a link to their own website. And so we're reaching out and trying to help them so that they can have these resources.
Great. And so the way that people can learn how they can help is at cmswr.org. And on the website, in the upper right-hand corner there's a link for giving, and it provides opportunities for how you can give and insights. Sister, anything else you want to leave with us as we sign off?
Just a little thought about the website.
Yeah.
One avenue we have found to be very helpful is many classroom teachers are using it, especially schools that do not have religious. They get on there on the whiteboards and let the children go all the way through this, exposing children that don't know religious sisters to what is out there to offer.
Wow.
That's a great idea.
It's beautiful.
Well, Sister, we're so grateful for all the work that you do, and particularly for the incredible witness of your faithfulness to the church, the faithfulness of all the sisters who are part of the Council of Major Superiors of Women Religious. And God bless you, and I pray that this will bring more attention and more people to assist in the mission.
Dan, you are great, and we are so grateful for your support.
Well, I also thank you for your service to God. Thank you so much, sister. Don't forget, you can listen to the show again by going to ncregister.com. Be sure to look for the picture of the microphone to listen to or download the show. Thanks again for joining us this time on Register Radio. For all of us at the Register and here at EWTN, I'm Tom Price. See you next week.
For more information about the National Catholic Register and about Register Radio, go to ncregister.com. Podcasts of Register Radio are posted on ncregister.com and on ewtn.com. Join us next week at this time for Register Radio on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.